This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to the Jota Jota edition of News West for the 22nd of October 2023. Now over to Dennis, VK6AKR from the WAVHF group.
Hello, this is Dennis, VK6AKR for the WAVHF group. Jota will be winding up as you're listening to this, and I hope that you've all had a good time and an opportunity to interact with scouts and give them a bit of on-air experience. Next weekend, that's primarily Saturday the 28th, is Perth Tech. This is up at Gidgee, a wonderful opportunity to get together with like-minded hams and enjoy their company. The WAVHF group will have a table up there showing off a few things that we're doing. Look forward to seeing you. The regular Wednesday and now Thursday night sessions for RTTY are going ahead quite nicely. The Wednesday night sessions are dedicated to single sideband, that's lower sideband on 144.350, and the Thursday night sessions are dedicated to audio frequency shift keying on FM. These are with linked repeaters, VK6RAF, VK6RBC, and a new one coming on stream soon at Wanneroo. Thanks very much to Mitch for those. You're always welcome to call into the WAVHF group and have a cuppa and a chat. We meet usually on the first and third Saturdays of the month at Wireless Hill from noon until 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. Always welcome to pop in, say hello and see what we're doing. So thank you very much until next time. This is Dennis, VK6AKR. Catch you on the log.
Well, Perth Tech is on next weekend, with the main program being on Saturday, which is the 28th of October. Have you registered yet? It's not too late. You can register at vk6.net. The program for Perth Tech will include Phil Harmon, VK6PH, and Phil will talk about software-defined radios, SDRs, and how they work, and new developments that may make them work in other ways, in different ways. And Glenn, VK6PAW, will discuss practical uses of nano VNAs and tiny SAs, etc. So I think that'll be good. Peter Miles, VK6YSF, will discuss one of his antenna projects, the design and construction of a 70-centimetre antenna. Chris, VK3QB, will talk about conducting holiday de-expeditions, big ones and small ones. Peter, VK6PBS, will demonstrate the PL Amateur Radio Group's fox hunt equipment and talk about it. Randall, VK6WR, will talk us through the process of tracking down a malfunctioning paging system that was interfering on the 2 meter call frequency. This is a real life story, so it should be interesting. And Chris returns to the podium to talk about CW operations. Chris is a keen CW operator and conducts the CW Academy online with international students. Then Donald, VK6JDM, will tell us about his experience changing his station over from using coax to using a ladder line. And I'm very interested in that one. I'm a fan of ladder lines. So let me tell you what happens at Perth Tech, if you don't know. The program begins at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, which means that you'll have to put your boots on nice and early to get there. And the doors will be open from 7 a.m, so you won't be too early, there'll be coffee going. You'll be given a last-minute opportunity to buy tickets in the fundraising raffle, actually until the end of morning tea time. You know, the raffle with three transceivers up for grabs, the Zhegu SDR portable, the ICOM dual bander, and the AC 2-meter rig. See the VK6.net website for details and a link for you to purchase tickets from. Now, this is the main fundraising raffle for Perth Tech, and anyone can purchase tickets, except me, because I'm the permit holder. And you do not have to be present at Perth Tech to win a prize, but you do need to have tickets. See the Perth Tech section of vk6.net to get your tickets. And the ticket sales close mid-morning somewhere Saturday, so even if you're not at Perth Tech, you can still jump online and buy them. In addition to the main raffle, we have a day raffle, and counting on my fingers, I think there's at least $1,000 in prizes on the table. These prizes have been made possible by generous donors supporting Perth Tech, and that's amateur radio clubs, individuals, businesses, and we'll acknowledge those in full another time. We'll draw prizes throughout the day. Winners can select their prize from all those prizes that are on the table. Tickets in the day raffle are $2 each and will be on sale until morning tea time. Under the rules for day raffles, tickets must be sold on the day to people at the venue, so we're covered for that. You can buy tickets in both raffles using cash or FPOS while you're at Perth Tech. If that wasn't enough generosity, we were recently made a generous offer for a door prize donated on behalf of Steve VK6SJ, 403A Signature and Ham College. The winner of the door prize will be decided by a ticket draw. You must be registered for Perth Tech and in attendance at the event to be eligible to be in the door. I said door. Draw. Shall I say that again? You must be registered for Perth Tech and in attendance at the event to be eligible to be in the draw. I want to be clear, it's only for those attending Perth Tech. So, why all the excitement? Well, the prizes are great. The winner can choose between either an 8X2AB antenna switch, which is an 8x1x2 coaxial switches in a single housing, and an OM module. I don't even know what that means, but people who know about them would be pretty excited. Or they can choose a 1x8 antenna Genius coaxial switch. Both options will be available on-site at Perth Tech for the lucky winner to choose and take home. And please note that it is an either-or. The winner must select one option only, and the other one gets taken away again. So, that was a lot of information for you to digest. The good news is that it's all up on VK6.net website. I've also posted stuff on Facebook and the WA Hams email list. Go to the website, read the emails, read Facebook, and you can find out about the main raffle and where to buy tickets, and find out about Perth Tech and how to register. It's not too late yet. And the website is VK6.net. And it's all there on the website. You've got until Wednesday to register for Perth Tech at VK6.net. Get on your bike, Squire, and just do it, because you know you want to.
If you happen to listen to the right part of the 80 metre band on a Tuesday evening, you might hear something that sounds like this. The CQQRS net has been running every single Tuesday for the last 2 years and has been unbelievably popular. There are usually half a dozen, a dozen, and a couple of times up to 18 stations, popping in and out when they can over the 4 or 5 hours. The aim is to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment, where slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then, over time, getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers, who enjoy helping others to have a go, or just to enjoy the banter. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed, we'd love to have you join in. The net starts at 0900 Zulu every Tuesday on 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz, and there's stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our weekly CQQRS RagChew newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via my email address on qrz.com, or you can email me direct, mark.bosma@icloud.com. That is mark.bosma@icloud.com. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So once again, Tuesdays from 0900 Zulu until late, between 3540 kHz and 3570 kHz. Cheers from Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI.
Since 1931, News West has provided amateur radio news for Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6ARN.
Hi, I'm Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? This week I thought I might do a deeper dive into Ham College. Ham College was formed in 2007 by Neil Husk, VK6BDO, now Silent Key. Neil was an ex-Navy radio operator who'd been a ham for a long time prior to then. Neil and a small team around him wrote the manual we still use to this day, prepared all the slides, etc., and mostly ran the course single-handedly, including foundation, standard and advanced courses. Another stalwart of the early days was Kathy VK6KTS, who still stays involved with the college, and we lean on her for professional teaching expertise from time to time. The group uses the facilities of the Linwood Scout Hall at Whaleback Golf Course and also have a club station there assembled, which is used for practical testing as well as the odd contest. My involvement with the college started in 2017 when I turned up to see if I could assist in teaching the advanced and standard courses in some way. It happened to be an AGM and I forgot to stand back when everyone else did and ended up president on my first visit. A few months later, Neil embarked on a long-term and much-anticipated Around Australia holiday and I took over as the main presenter for the advanced and standard course. The first year was pretty good and quite easy, but all my students were engineers, so I think I ended up learning more than they did. One of them was Randall, VK6 Whiskey Romeo, who stayed on to assist in teaching and is now the main man for the advanced course. The next 2 years were a lot rougher, with the third year I was involved in the course having a really poor result. At that point, a bunch of new blood came into the committee. We split the teaching up across about 8 instructors, all under the watchful eye of Randall, and we had an immediate improvement in attendance and exam passes. This same format is still in place today and our pass rate is generally around 100% or very close to that. Most years see at least one student stay on to either assist in instructing or just get more involved in the group, which is very satisfying. So what is Ham College doing? We run a combined advanced standard course once a year, generally starting in March and completing in October or November. In addition, we run a foundation course every 2 months, normally attracting between 6 and 10 students. And we've also run ad hoc foundation courses for community groups, both face-to-face and across Zoom. Between the two programs, we're responsible for bringing between 70 and 100 new hams into the hobby each year. With the advanced course, while there are a few different and very valid ways to study for and pass the exam, some much quicker than our course, we've found that the methods we're using provide a good depth of knowledge that's allowed many of our members to become very competent hams. So at this point in time, Ham College has more than its fair share of doers. From running courses and exams, building a new 2-metre beacon, managing the IT system that's so important to the quality of our course, and keeping the club station on air and operational, the culture of the club is very healthy. It's a single-mindedly focused on its core business of educating new and upgrading hams, and we have a great camaraderie amongst the members. So what next? We've often spoken about running more postgrad-style courses like CW, digital modes, workshops, etc. But our issue is that if we take these kind of ventures on, we could run the risk of burning out our core group of instructors. We could do this if we had more volunteers to spread the load, and we would love to hear from anyone interested in becoming more involved in the college to carry out additional courses. We'd also love to have more engagement with all the various clubs in the Perth metro area, even if we are just assisting in clubs doing their own courses using our intellectual property. Another area we would love to engage more with is the scouting and guide movement. We see these movements as being the future of the hobby, without which we believe the hobby could be in trouble without. We do offer free foundation courses to scouts and guides, including their leaders, to aid in fostering this relationship and would welcome any groups wishing to use our services to gain licences. If you're interested in learning more about Ham College, either as a student, instructor or volunteering your services to assist the college, you can contact us via our website, hamcollege.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, thanks for listening again. This has been Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? If you'd like a text copy of this or any other articles, they will be posted to my blog page at dxradiosystems.com.au about 2 weeks after it's gone to air.
It's me again, Bob, VK6POP. Remember me? I rattled on about Perth Tech a few minutes ago. What I forgot to tell you, and it's important really, is that Perth Tech is free. You get a ticket to be there all day. What you pay for when you register for Perth Tech is the catering. Some people seem to have the idea that we sell tickets to various sessions. We don't. You pay the $25 for the catering, and if you're not there for morning tea, lunch or afternoon tea, that's a problem of your making. It's a flat, non-negotiable catering fee. It's simple. We'd love to see you at Perth Tech. Another thing I forgot is some clubs will set up a table where they can show you stuff, tell you what a wonderful club they are, and so forth. There's also a table being set up by Greg, VK6 Fox Golf. Greg is from Geraldton Communications, and he's an Icon dealer. You may have noticed Greg's table at Hamfest. Well, he's going to strut his stuff at Perth Tech. So there's so much happening at Perth Tech, and it's not too late to be part of it. VK6.net is the website. Just do it.
This is Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, Editor-in-Chief of Amateur Radio Magazine. Again, that's right, back to remind you about celebrating 90 years of Amateur Radio Magazine with our special event callsign, VK90AR. Imagine getting on 20 metres and calling CQ Victor Kilo Niner, Zero Alpha Romeo. There's a certain rhythm and rhyme to it. A special call sign for a special occasion. Just to remind you, Amateur Radio Magazine was first published in October 1933. That's why we're marking the occasion by arranging for operators, you good people, to get on air and make some noise with VK90AR. The solar cycle is really crackling right now, so here's an opportunity to add to the happy noise on the bands. The call sign is for use by any member of the WIA as well as any affiliated club. Getting to use VK90AR is a simple process. Just apply on the WIA website online event calendar, where you can book a roster to suit yourself. If you already know where that is, jump to it. Otherwise, look up the news item featured on the WIA website homepage. VK90AR expires on 31st December 2023. So, get online, book a roster and don't miss out. You might find me lurking on some band looking to put VK90AR in my log. This missive is not the end of it. I'll be back, as some famous personality once said. Is it a date? I'm Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, Editor-in-Chief of Amateur Radio Magazine.
This is NewsWest from VK6ARN. Produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Today I'd like to talk about noise, but before I do, I need to cover some ground. Recently, I explored the idea that, on their own, neither antenna nor coax made a big difference in the potential for a contact when compared to the impact of path loss between two stations. I went on to point out that you'd be unlikely to even notice the difference in normal communications. Only when you're working at the margins, when the signal is barely detectable, would adding a single dB here or there make any potential difference. In saying that, I skipped over one detail. Noise. Noise is by definition an unwanted signal that arrives together with a wanted signal at the receiver. In HF communications, noise comes from many sources. The galaxy, our atmosphere, and man-made noise from things like electrical switches, motors, alternator circuits, inverters, and computers. The example I used was my 10 dBm beacon being reported by an Antarctic station. My signal report was about 5 dB above the minimum decode level, and based on signal path calculations, minus 129 dBm, or around an S0 signal level. What that statement hides is that this is in the context of a noise level that's lower than minus 129 dBm. Remember, a negative dBm value means a fraction of a milliwatt. While you're considering that, think of the reality of an Antarctic station. This particular station, Neumayer 3, has three 75 kilowatt diesel generators, a 30 kilowatt wind turbine generator, 20 Caterpillar trucks, 10 snowmobiles, and 2 snowblowers, and computers and technology to support 60 people. In other words, plenty of local noise. This makes it all the more remarkable that my 10 dBm beacon was heard and that there was an amateur there to set up the receiver in the first place. Before I continue, picture mountaintops peeking through the top of a cloud layer as viewed from the window of an aeroplane. If the cloud layer increases in height, less and less mountaintops are visible, until, at some point, only clouds are visible. Alternatively, if the cloud layer descends, more and more of the peaks are visible, until at some point no cloud remains, and you see the mountains in all their magnificent glory. In that analogy, mountains represent signals, and the cloud layer is the equivalent of the noise floor. And in a similar way, signals can be heard or not, depending on the relationship between the level of noise in comparison to the level of the signal. There's a name for this. It's called the signal-to-noise ratio, or SNR, where a value of 0 dB means that noise and signal are at the same level. Negative SNR values mean that the signal is weaker than the noise. Positive SNR values means that the signal is stronger than the noise. If you know the power level in dBm for both the noise and the signal, you can subtract the two and end up with the signal-to-noise ratio. In reality, all receiving stations have to contend with noise. If I arbitrarily set the local noise floor at minus 100 dBm, somewhere halfway between S4 and S5, I'll mostly get laughed at by many stations, either because it's too high or too low. In case you're wondering, I've worked my station in both S0 noise and S9 noise environments, and it's fun trying either and comparing. It's one of the reasons I often use a mobile station, to get away from urban noise around me, and you don't have to go far. A local park might be far enough from local noise to whet your appetite. Besides, minus 100 dBm is a nice round number to play with. You might recall that a typical path loss number for a 2,500-kilometre contact on HF on the 10-metre band is about 129 dB. With a noise floor of minus 100 dBm, we immediately know how much output power is required to be heard above the noise. If the received signal has to be at least more than minus 100 dBm, and we know that the path loss is 129 dB, then our transmitted signal needs to be at least enough to make up the difference. Said differently, if our output power is too low, the signal at the receive station will fall below the noise, and they won't be able to hear us. So, if we start at, say, 30 dBm, have a path loss of 129 dB, we'll end up at minus 99 dBm, which is 1 dB above minus 100 dBm. Said in another way, the SNR for this is 1 dB. I'd like you to notice something. I've said nothing about the noise floor at the transmitter. We could have low noise or horrendous noise. Either way, it makes no difference to the receiver. What it hears is entirely dependent on the noise floor at the receiving station. I wonder if that observation changes anything about what you think the impact might be of adding an 18 dBi Yagi to your station. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
Good morning once again, this is Roy VK6X-Ray Victor. For this week's helpline, the 22nd of October 2023, what I have for you this week is not much different to last week. We still have some items. Don's estate, VK6 uniform Tango. There's a whole heap of stuff from electronic power supplies to electrical generators to meters and all manner of things, transformers. And there is a list of it if you want to contact Stephen. Stephen's email address is Sierra Tango Echo Papa Hotel Echo November Tango at westnet.com.au, and he can email you a list of all the items there. Get in touch with him, or his mobile 0401 804 166, 0401 804 166. And Barry VK6 Alpha Delta India still has a realistic microphone with built-in amplifier for $50. That's a realistic microphone, and a classical Radiola mantle radio with polished wooden case for $200 or thereabouts. It's a collector's item. The linear amplifier has found a new home, but he still has a antenna controller and rotator, $350, a vacuum tube voltmeter, $50. And you may contact Barry on his mobile 0428 959 771, mobile 0428 959 771, or the email is bravo.juliet.burns@bigpond.com. bravo.juliet.burns@bigpond.com. And that's all the items I have for you this week. Thank you once again for listening. This is Roy VK6X-Ray Victor. My email address is roy.watkins@bigpond.com for any further correspondence or anything for next week. Cheers for now, 7-3. Got some new items have just arrived in. We've got a Kenwood Tango Sierra 590 Sierra HF transceiver. Comes with a TS50 power supply, asking $1,550 for that. There's a Yaesu Fox Tango 2000 200 watt transceiver, asking $1,500 for that also. There's also a Fox Popper 8 extension speaker, $150. There's a Daiwa 5204 antenna switch, 4-port model, it's $50. There's a Fox Tango 200 transceiver with Fox Popper 200 power supply, $150 for that one. There's an MFJ 259 Bravo antenna analyzer, also $150. There's a TH3 Mark III Yagi antenna, a high-gain tri-band antenna, negotiable on that one. There's a CDR rotator, a Ham M rotator, plus controller, I presume. There's also a tubular 40-foot telescopic self-supporting mast, negotiable price on that. Homebrew HF amplifier, set for 4-1000 tube. Negotiable on that. Current setup unknown. Any offer will be considered. The contact is Nora Jackson. She's handling the deceased estate for Doug Jackson. Phone number 043-835-2667 between the hours of 10 a.m. and 12 noon today. The telephone number again 043-835-2667 or landline 6363-5350. At 6363-5350. Thank you, and that's all I have for you.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and I'd like to thank our News West team of volunteers and broadcasters each week, and those regularly submitting content each week. I'd also like to thank our readers, and you for listening. Please stand by now for callbacks after the ident, or if nobody is taking callbacks, please fill out the form on the VK6.net website so we know how many people are listening or reading News West each week.